Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 187. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mary. Just experienced a very chilly weekend. I thought temperatures were getting back to normal, but no, it's...
Well, there was one really warm day last week that was like, what, 73 degrees?
Yeah, we did have one spike of the 70 degrees weather, and then it went down to, what, 40, 50, the
norms. Okay, but at least it didn't snow here today, because I know in like Portland and the Snoqualmie Pass, they had snow today.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
It's, you know, middle of April, so at least it didn't snow. Hasn't snowed here. Gotta count my
blessings.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But what else happened this weekend?
Well, we went on a trip to go see a tulip festival. It was in, was it Skagit? Is that how you pronounce it?
Skagit Valley.
Skagit Valley.
In Mount Vernon.
In Mount Vernon. It was about, what, an hour and 15-minute drive north? Yeah.
It was a great drive. You know, it was raining for a bit and I was like, oh shoot. But then it was clear most of the drive and we listened to Second Date Update, great podcast, which we've talked about before. I had to catch up on a lot of episodes there. Oh, finally got there. And I went there a long time ago as a kid, but what was your first impressions, Brian?
My first impressions were there was a lot of tulips. a lot of tulips. There was tulips as far as the eye could see, actually. It was like you knew you were in the right spot. As soon as you parked, like there were tulips like even outside of the area leading you into I guess the grounds. Mm-hmm. And you're like, they had like huge like blocks of different colors, you know, like they had red, they had like purple, they had yellow, they had like a bluish color.
You like the hybrid ones?
I did like the hybrid ones, so we saw like a little bit of red and a little bit of yellow. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed you know, like occasionally you'd see like one yellow tulip in the patch of nothing but red tulips, like, oh, someone misplaced a tulip seed. But it was pretty cool. Like taking pictures of it, like I told you, Mary, it looks like these pictures look like it belongs on like some textbook somewhere. Like,
yeah, just some a field random of tulips. Textbook, like you yeah. said.
But yeah, it was really cool. You said this was the second time around you've been here. What's it like experiencing this for the second time?
I mean, I think I went last time as in elementary school, so a long time ago. But yeah, it was good. And it was nice that the weather wasn't raining, but it was pretty cold and windy. But overall, it was still good to get out of the city.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good to do something on the weekend. It was not just sitting
watching and doing nothing.
Exactly.
And, you know, on the way back, we stopped by the Tulalip Outlet Mall, and I got some good stuff at the Lululemon Outlet. It's good stuff up there, people. It was, like, already on sale, and then everything over $50 was an extra $10 off, so I got some really good deals. Mm-hmm. And, Brian, you got some stuff at the Under Armour Outlet.
Oh, yeah, the Under Armour had some pretty good deals as well, so I grabbed some stuff. And funny story about that. As I was leaving the Under Armour building, I heard a beep and I'm like, oh, what's going on? I already paid for everything. So I just kept on walking, but I guess I should have turned back because one of the cashiers forgot to deactivate one of the, like clip on like security things on one of my shirts.
So we might be going back to the outlet mall next weekend.
Yeah. So now I just have this shirt with a security clip on it. And obviously I'm not going to go wearing a shirt with a security clip on it. Yeah. That looks really sketchy. Like, did you steal that? No, I didn't. I promise I did not. I have the receipt proving I paid good money for that shirt. Even though it was on sale. Yeah. So I'll try to figure out how to either I have to go back and, get them to take it off, or maybe I'll beg like a different store like Target or something to do it for me. I think all you really need is a really strong magnet, but that's my current dilemma.
I was reading up on them yesterday and it sounds like different stores have different magnets and stuff. So just depends. So yeah, might be going back there next weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a fun weekend. I also had my last day of work at SPU last week, and so this week I'm just, you know, waiting for my new equipment to arrive for my new job, and then I'll be starting that next Monday, a week from today.
You're in between jobs, Mary.
Yeah.
I wonder if that means you're like a statistic of people that are not currently working.
No, because it's only for
a week
and a half. It's, and I also have already have a job lined up.
You're technically employed still. You have a, you just haven't started working.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So yeah, just relaxing this week. It's been nice. Feels weird though.
Yeah, yeah. You have a full week to yourself. When was the last time you had a full week to yourself that wasn't vacation? It's kind of been like a summer break or something.
The week of Christmas, I guess.
Christmas. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah. So Easter's coming up this Sunday. So start, I thought we'd start off with some Easter facts that I'll be quizzing Brian on. So first I wanted to ask you, what country do you think the Easter Bunny came out of? Like, where did that tradition come out of?
Oh, Easter. Well, this sounds like some sort of pagan thing, you know, like there's a lot of, some North European country, I'll say Scandinavia.
Germany. During the Middle Ages with the, there was the first written mention of this dating back to the 16th century when Dutch settlers and the Dutch settlers in Pennsylvania brought the bunny to the United States in the 1700s.
Okay. Okay. And now the bunny exists in its chocolate form as well.
Yeah. So Easter and Halloween actually compete for the highest amount of candy sales. Mm-hmm. They're the two holidays that go head to head for the most candy sales every year. And in fact, some years people buy more candy the week before Easter than they do the week before Halloween. But that's mostly because people buy their Halloween candy more spread out over the month of October as there's, you know, more Halloween parties and stuff.
Right. They don't want to be left with the bad candy.
Exactly. That too, I guess. Can you guess how many Peeps Americans eat during Easter per year?
Oh God, that's disgusting, Mary. Why would you make me guess that? Well, let's see. It's got to be in the millions.
Maybe it is 1 million. Yeah, it's 1.5 million.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's the most popular non-chocolate Easter candy.
Really? More than jelly beans? Wow. Yeah. That's disgusting.
The factory actually makes 5.5 million Peeps per day.
Oh.
Which is gross. Actually, you and I were at Target a few months ago because, you know, Easter stuff is set out months in advance in the stores.
Oh, right.
You came across this whole like end cap of Peeps.
Nothing but Peeps, and there were a variety of flavors. I forget what the one that really was wild.
It was
wild,
like spicy was. Peeps.
Yeah, you know, some spicy Peep. That just is not what you want out of a
Looked
Peep.
Gross. And it, even yeah. when you took a picture and sent it to your family of these Peeps, then some other lady was walking by and she's like, that looks gross.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd be very interested to see how that Peep actually sold. It was a spicy Peep. Disgusting.
Yeah, well, did not sound good. I mean, I don't like Peeps in general, but that just sounds even worse than
yeah,
the original.
Yeah, I agree.
And actually in 1953, it took 27 hours to make one Peep because it was made with a handmade, it was handmade with a pastry too, but now it just takes 6 minutes per Peep because of a unique machine called the depositor that creates the unique and instantly recognizable shape. So that's why they can create that many Peeps, and that's why people consume so many Peeps, because they can make them a lot faster than they could.
Ugh. You know, when I was a kid, I did try some Peeps, and my favorite thing was heating them up in the microwave and they slowly expand it because they're marshmallows, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have like your little duck that just gets extremely large.
Yep.
Just fun fact, people.
And then do you know how many Cadbury cream eggs are made every day?
No, I don't. I'm not even going to guess on that one. That I have absolutely no idea. What is the answer to that?
1.5 million are made every day. So they churn out over 500 million cream-filled eggs every year. And so they said that if you piled all of these eggs on top of each other, they create a tower that's taller than Mount Everest.
That's a lot of eggs.
Now, jelly beans. Most of these Easter facts are about candy. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Goodhousekeeping.com. How many jelly beans do Americans consume every year during Easter?
That is a good question. I would say maybe like 10 million.
Nope. 16 million.
16. Oh, I knew that it was more than 1 million because that is you enough, get a lot.
Yeah, that's package. Enough jelly beans to circle the globe not once, not twice, three times.
Oh my gosh. That's all you jelly
can
beans.
Fill, or you can fill a plastic egg the size of a 9-story building.
All right. That's good to know. That honestly would be very interesting to see. Just a big egg with nothing but jelly beans flowing out of them.
Now, here's one of your favorite Easter candies. How many chocolate bunnies are sold every year?
Well, apparently this isn't the most popular one, but chocolate is very popular. So I'm going to just say 2 million.
90 million.
90. Wow. That's, yeah. You know what? I appreciate America. That is great. And I have to remind myself to buy one too, to add to that 90 million count.
This year. Overall, Americans spend $2.6 billion on Easter candy, which is just crazy. But I do want to ask you, when you're eating a chocolate bunny, do you eat the ears first or the toes first, or what part do you eat first?
I think I had one time I had a hollow bunny where there was like some candy inside, and the feet were always like more difficult to get to. So I always ate the ears first. Top down, Mary. I go top down.
Okay, now what percentage of Americans do you think also eat their chocolate bunnies from the ears down? Yes, there are statistics about this.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'd assume that's more of the norm. Like, nobody wants to eat feet first. That just sounds weird. So I'd say 80%.
59%.
Oh, it's almost even. It's
start with even. The ears. And so basically a handful of people start with the feet or the tail, or they just don't have a plan of action at all.
They just eat it anyway.
How they're going to attack this chocolate bunny.
Well, that's interesting. That's good to know. I'll be ready for that question on Jeopardy one day.
Yeah. And then lastly, do you know why pretzels used to be an Easter tradition?
Pretzels. What do pretzels go with? I have no idea. You're gonna have to tell me, Mary. Does it have anything to do with the fact that there's salt on pretzels, or no?
Well, it's because the twists of the salty pretzels resemble arms crossing and prayer. But this article says that we should bring back pretzels because there's just, we need some savory snack to compete with all the sweet filled snacks that we've just been talking about. So bring back the pretzels.
Ironically, even though pretzels are pretty much just bread and salt, it's probably one of the healthier things you can be eating, especially when peeps are in the equation.
I mean, most things are healthier than peeps.
Yes, that's true. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.
Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks with titles from every genre. Audible titles play on nearly any device and allows you to listen to your favorite audiobooks anytime, anywhere.
You can even switch between devices and it'll play from where you left off. SAS Stories and Sarcasm listeners can get a 30-day membership trial that includes one free audiobook of your choice.
Just go to audibletrial.com/SSS podcast to start your trial and choose your book today. Did you know the American Heart Association recommends 150 active minutes each week to help with heart health? What if you could earn rewards just for being healthy? That's where Paceline comes in. Paceline is a free app that gives you rewards for exercising 150 minutes per week. Keep up a weekly streak and get even more rewards. Every week of your streak, the rewards vary. You can choose from gift cards from Amazon, Starbucks, Target, and more to discounts for products or services, and even donations to charitable organizations. Join me on Paceline. To get started, download the free Paceline app, connect it to your activity tracker, and use our referral code SSSPOD to start earning rewards just for being healthy.
I've always been wondering, okay, how do I start my Wordle words? And, you know, like, what's the best way to do it? I know there is a best one. And then finally, an article just popped up for me that told me that, you know, Wordle confirmed that they have an optimal starting word. And no, it's not like fuzzy, which I guess was a joke because apparently a bunch of people on Twitter thought that was optimal, which makes no sense.
That makes no sense because Z's and Y, there's two Z's and then there's
a Y
and then U is not the most common vowel either. And
exactly. F is not that so common. Yes. So one mathematician created an automated bot that tested over 12,000 words. And so, while some of the popular words are irate, crate, slate, slant, apparently the most popular or best word to get to the answer when your first word is crane, like C-R-A-N-E, crane. Hmm. So, I mean, that would make sense. There's lots of R's, A's, and N's, and E's, and C's in, you know, a lot of American or English words that will appear in the, you know, the New York Times Dictionary of Words. And explaining how they got to crane, the Wordle bot solved about 2,309 possible Wordles using the fewest number of guesses when it started with crane. In apparently there's a normal mode, and then when there's a hard mode,
the hard mode doesn't allow you to guess the same letters if they weren't in the word before.
Okay, so I don't even know if we, I think we do normal mode then.
We do
right?
Normal mode, yeah.
Okay, wow. I thought I was really cool, but I guess I'm not even playing the hard mode. But if you are playing the hard mode, the word, optimal word you want to start with is dealt, D-E-A-L-T. So there are variations. I guess the hard, it, you know, it's very different whether you're playing the
easier. So basically, once you discover a letter in the word in the hard mode, then you have to use it in the next, you know, ones, which you don't tend to do. You just sometimes just go random. You have like you have three starting words that you use every day.
Yes. So I might as well tell you guys my starting words, if you guys want to,
but it's not, it doesn't work very well.
Well, if you guys want to solve a Wordle, like I would solve it, you'd start with three words every time. And I don't know why these words count, but audio, A-U-D-I-O, Tyler, and I don't know why Tyler works because it's like a name, but apparently it's like something else. But Tyler works, and then chimp, C-H-I-M-P, which would get you your C-H, you know, like M-P, and then you only reuse the vowel I.
But then you only have three more.
And I only have three guesses left. And then after that point, I just start guessing with whatever vowels and consonants have already been hit on. And usually on the fourth guess, because I've already used up three guesses, right? I try to throw in some four-letter word with the letter S in there as well, usually at the end of the word or the beginning of the word, just to get rid of S as an option as well. And, you know, that's worked for me quite a lot. You know, I haven't looked it up right now, but I have like a 90-something, you know, percent rate. Let me just brag.
So do I, but I'm the one that told you about the word audio to start with.
You did. I think I started with something else at first.
I think you started with Tyler.
No, I started with Maui.
That's only four letters.
I started with something then. Maybe it wasn't Maui. It was not something.
Maui.
It was something.
Anyways, all right, I started with audio then. Because it has four of the five vowels in it.
Yes, and I thought it was so brilliant. So I stole your idea, I guess, Barry. And I've been holding on to it ever since and pretending it's fine.
Yep. And so the New York Times also has a Wordle bot, and it's here to help you be more efficient in your guessing. And so you can go on the New York Times website and just go to like Wordle bot. And, you know, once you solve that day's Wordle, it will go through and, you know, go line by line, the skill, how much skill you had in your guesses, how much luck you had in your guesses, and then how many steps it took you compared to the average person that day.
That's good. I should use that. See my comparison.
Yeah. Then it analyzes your guesses step by step. And then basically says like how many solutions were remaining after each of your guesses. So something
that's pretty cool to
look into if you're interested in improving at Wordle.
Yes.
I don't know if you can't really improve in Wordle if you have three starting words. Half of your guesses are gone.
I could improve my starting words, but I'm very happy with my starting words. So
okay. I just do audio and then I start going based on what letters were, or, you know, vowels were in that word. And then I try to put an E in whatever the second word is to see if that's there. And then I start going off based on those.
Oh, okay. So you really only have one for sure starting
word. Most people only have one. It's like, just as the article suggests, people, you know, they say to use crane, They're not saying here are the first five guesses that you should put in every Wordle. There's one starting word, and then you base your guesses based on the next thing. If you don't like the word crane, they also suggest crate, slate, slant, and trace, and also lance, least, and trice. So, oh, and then there's a siren in the background. So that's not you, it's me.
Yes, you're not an ambulance is not rapid, or a fire truck is not rapidly approaching wherever you're listening.
Yeah. And Brian and I live on the same street now. So basically, you might hear it from my side of things, and then it'll go towards him or vice versa.
Anyways, right.
Yeah. So next up, we're going to talk about two very odd, we haven't done weird news in a while. So I found some weird news articles. Yeah. First, we'll start off with the shoplifting, you know, Swedish shoplifting meatball stealer. There was a Supreme Court justice in Sweden that has been fined for shoplifting a Christmas ham and meatballs, among many other items. She's 67 years old and was caught by staff at a grocery store in central Stockholm a week before Christmas.
That's just awkward.
Yeah. This lady has served 2 decades on the bench as a judge, but then resigned in February because when these reports emerged that she was being investigated. She also tried to hide sausage and cheese in a woven bag by covering them with another bag, according to the news outlet there. And they say that she stole around... in dollars, she stole around $5,220 worth of meat and food. So
that's not, it's not just like a simple one thing. Not that, you know, stealing one thing isn't good or bad either. It's bad, but that's a lot of money that she was not going to pay for.
Yeah.
So hopefully there, I don't know why she did that. Maybe. She was actually very adamant about that she denied any intention to steal the groceries, but
what do you mean? How can that be an accident?
She admitted to the facts that she basically had the food, but it says that she denied that she intended to steal them. I don't know, maybe that might help her out in some legal case. Huh. She would know because she's
she would know.
But either way, she resigned from her job and was fined. So that seems like a decent punishment for stealing $5,000 worth of.
I don't know what you would do with that much meat, though.
I don't know. Maybe she's trying to feed everyone. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Now, do you want to talk about this next one?
Yes. So this NBC article is basically going over a man in Germany. Right now we're getting articles from Europe because there's some crazy things happening in Europe, apparently. not that there's not crazy things happening in America.
There's plenty of things going on in America.
We have our own problems. Don't you worry. but anyway, so a man in Germany got 90 COVID-19 shots. Now that sounds very excessive. You know, usually only to have 1, 2, maybe the booster, depending on where you are and, you know, like what your age is. But he got them in order to sell forged vaccination cards. You know, just like in America, there's a big contingency of people that want to get by without getting the shot and want to pretend that they got the shot so they can access, you know, like, you know, public areas and stuff like that. So this guy went out, decided to get the COVID-19 shot dozens of times in order to sell forged vaccination cards.
They said that he received up to 90 shots.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
So many. Like, and he was only caught because he went to the same place 2 days in a row and they
noticed him. They're like, we already gave you the shot.
I mean, he could have been coming to the same place for many days in a row and they're all of a sudden like, you know, they probably have hundreds
maybe he only
of
went to, yeah, or the people that were doing it were just like, it's like a assembly line, just giving someone a shot. They just never looked up.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, guy. We went to what? We went to
mass vaccination. What was it? Lumen Field?
Yeah, Lumen Field last year. And so I can see how,
stadium.
Yeah. And so I can see how they might not have noticed, you know, if someone was coming in multiple times, but
this goes to show, like, I haven't seen any follow-up about him being in bad health or anything. So yeah, if you can give yourself 90 COVID shots and you're totally fine, that should put to rest any concerns about the vaccine. And not that there ever should have been anyways, but, and you know, the stage of the pandemic, it looks like it might be winding down, fingers crossed. You never know.
I don't know, but
yeah, actually we might, who knows?
Philadelphia is reenacting their indoor mask mandate.
So. Yeah. I saw that too. Yeah. But either ways, this guy got 90 COVID shots and he's still kicking. So, yeah. Consider that before, next time someone tells you that the vaccine's bad for them.
And I wonder how much, you know, money he's selling these vaccine cards for. He's just like, this is my new job. I'm just going to go get a COVID shot every day until I get caught and make my money that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. Like, I wonder like how many Band-Aids he had on his arm. Like, he had to take it off over and over again. Like, I wonder if they're sticking the same muscle over and over too. He's like, oh, not this arm. Oh, try my thigh now. I mean, who knows? Like, that's excessive. 90 COVID shots. Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot.
And then last but not least, wanted to say that Drew Timmy declared for the NBA draft last week. It's not clear if he signed with an agent or not, but, you know, he also declared for the NBA draft last year too, so most likely he'd be going forward with it this year. But, you know, he spent the last three seasons at Gonzaga. Great player.
Great mustache.
Yeah. Most importantly, great mustache. No, just kidding. Great player first. Yeah. Hopefully he comes back, but you know, wish him all the best. I mean, really.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we need him. I mean, every year I think that our team like is completely gone and then we pull off some miracle and have a pretty good recruiting class. But you know, this coming next couple of years is going to be without Tommy Lloyd, who is one of our main recruiters. So we'll see if we can continue to pull in top talent. We pulled in Jalen Suggs, number one, high schooler, and Chet Holmgren, number one. So that is pretty good. So I'm looking forward to our next season's recruiting class as well. And, I agree. Hopefully Timmy does come back, but hopefully he's happy. Hopefully he wants to come back.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't want his dreams crushed just for the sake of Gonzaga.
I'm sure Northern Quest and Dollar Shave Club would love, you know, if he just remained.
That's true. He's the king of Spokane.
Keep being the spokesman of Walker's Furniture in Spokane.
There you go.
You know, he could just do it for another year.
There you go.
Anyways, hope everyone has a good rest of your week and a good Easter. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.